All right, let's get our Bibles out. And, you know, we've been kind of talking the last couple of weeks about being well. And I did determine last week that a bunch of you are just sickos. That's all, you're just sickos because of the way you think, right? But I told you in all seriousness, I said that in order for us to be well, there are three components to us. And you clearly should know what they are by now because I did such a wonderful job explaining that to you. We are body. We are mind or emotions, and we are spirit. And all three of those parts of a human being has got to be well in order for you to be totally well. Now, we know that. We know that there are people who are physically strong, but yet they're dead on their feet. I know people whose hearts are beating and they've got breath in their lungs, but they're dead. Anybody know people like that? Just this way it is. And so in order for us to be well, we have to have all three components. And how you be well in all three components, I told you the first three aspects of spiritual wellness. I said the first part is you need to stay what?
Connected.
You got to stay connected. Anybody working hard at that, at staying connected? You got to be involved in something. You got to have a circle of friends. You got to stay connected to your family. Isolationism isn't going to work. So you got to stay what? Connected. You got to belong to something. The second manifestation of the wellness of the Holy Spirit, the second component is, I said you need to be what?
Active.
Anybody working on that part? I am so pleased because some people, a couple weeks past when I gave that message, they had talked to me, or others, and others had talked to me about some things that some folks want to do. They want to get involved in the ministry somehow. And I've got reports of some folks that are going to go out and start reading to people. I know Mary Mellon told me that. I know Sue told me that. That they're taking that to heart and they're going to go read the people, get books, right? As you told me. And so praise the Lord. There are people who are taking active participation in that ministry. Praise God for that. You don't need to go to seminary to go sit beside somebody in a bed and read them a book. You just don't. And thank you, Sue. Thank you, Mary. Mary told me that they're going to be involved. So praise God. So stay connected. Be active. The third thing I told you was you got to take notice. Take notice of what? How you think. Take notice of how you process things. Take a note on how you view life. Take note on how you view the world. I told you last week that so many people call me on the phone and I deal with it on a weekly basis. They want to know, why is this happening to them? If I hear that 2 times every day of my career, I heard it 5 times. Why is this happening to me? How many ever asked that question? Why is this happening to me? You know, the interesting thing is, I didn't get a phone call from any of those people 364 days before that, why it wasn't happening to you. No one ever called me on the phone and said, hey, Pastor Tom, I want to let you know how blessed I am. Nothing's happening to me today. Praise God. I don't get those phone calls. I only get phone calls when what? Something's happening to you. Well, what about all those days that God watched over you and nothing happened to you? Anybody want to give a blessing for that?
Yes.
You know, well, I got into an accident. Where was God? Well, he was with you the other 364 days. Remember when you didn't have an accident? And so it's how you process life. I told you that last week. Bad things happen to who?
Everybody.
Happens to everybody. And good things happen to who? Everybody. It's the way life is. And you want to change that supposition that you have. The supposition that you have is, well, the reason I need to ask this question is, why is this happening to me? Is because you have the thought process that what? This should not be happening to who? Me. That's why you're asking the question. Well, are you above that or something? Really? How many know we live in a fallen world? And how many know this world is racked with diseases, sicknesses, and illnesses? Is that true? And how many know, if you live on this earth long enough, you're going to get a turn. You will get a turn. And unfortunately, most of us are great cheerleaders. Christians are great cheerleaders. We can go up into the stadiums when somebody down on the floor is struggling. Hey, go and get them! You know what the Word of God says! Go get them! Come on, we're rooting for you! We're all praying for you! We're great cheerleaders. We're so great cheerleaders. You know what the Word of God says? Somebody taps you on the shoulder. Not right now. I'm praying. Come on, go and get him. Not right. Oh, God? Huh? You want me to what? Get get in the game. What's that? It's my turn? Oh, wait. No, I'm a cheerleader. It's not my turn? You see, it's different when it's your turn. It's good when you're cheering for somebody else. It's good when you're quoting scripture to somebody else. Oh, it's really great when you can throw all the scripture verses out that help somebody else. But do you believe it when it's your turn? When it's your turn, and your turn to struggle, and your turn for illnesses and diseases, and your turn for trials and tribulations, what you said to the person when you were singing from the stadium isn't now good for you. That's what you have to ask yourself. And you have to say to yourself, hey, what was good for them is also good for me. And that's that renewing of your mind. It's taking notice of how you process life. Okay, well, the fourth thing. What's the first? Stay connected. Second one? Be active. The third one? Take notice of what you're thinking. The fourth one, giving. You got to give. See, giving is a spiritual discipline. Everybody knows, and if you don't know, you will now know after this brilliant message, I'm sure, that you receive more joy out of giving than you do out of receiving. How many would agree with that statement? There is no doubt about it that most of us, hopefully all of us, would say, you know what? In the giving of things and the receiving of things, I get so much joy out of giving to someone else. Who agrees with that statement? But why? But why is that? Because God's a great giver. God's a great giver. He's the author of every what? Every blessing. And so what we know, what we understand is that inside of us, we have this desire, we have this urge to what? To give. To give. And we receive exponentially more joy out of giving than receiving. How many would much rather give than receive? How many have a real hard time even asking for anything? Well, see, this is the hook. This is the hook. The hook is, if you don't ask for something, how will anybody know to give you anything? True? You see, what we got to learn to understand, brothers and sisters, in the spiritual discipline of giving is that we also need to be able to receive so that others have the opportunity to what?
Give.
To give. See, when you refuse to receive, you're robbing someone's joy of giving. And shame on you. If somebody wants to give you a blessing, what should you say? Here's your choice. Here's your options. Well, no, thank you. Or how about, hey, thanks. It's a spiritual discipline of giving. Now, what we got to understand is that giving does not always mean, nor does it only mean, money in your pocket. It means also giving of yourself. Giving of your time. Giving of your talents. Giving of your financial resources. That's what we're called to do. And you want to know why it's good to give? If your hands are full with everything that you already have, how will you catch any other blessings coming down from heaven? You can't. God does not bless to you. God blesses what? Through you. Not to you. He blesses through you. You know the best thing to do with the things you have is give it away and raise your arms up for what? Get some more. Did you know by the measure that you give is also the measure that you receive? I want you to turn in your Bibles, please. Luke 6:38.
Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Ooh. Give, and what? It shall be given. You know, Sissy and I went to Myrtle Beach, and we're going to go with our daughter, Shauna, coming up. And when Sissy packs clothes, she has a suitcase that expands. And when she's packing her clothes to go on a trip, I have to zip it for her. I actually have to put it on the floor. I got to kneel down on it, and I got to do what with it? Press it down and zip that thing shut. Because there's not one more thing that's going to fit in that suitcase. It's not happening. There's not one more thing that's going to fit. And so I want you to think about that analogy for just a second. I want you to think about receiving from God in the quantity of pressed down. So full that he has to what? Press it down. And then what? Shake it together. You know, sometimes you're putting stuff in a jar and you want to put it all in it. What do you got to do with the jar? Shake it to get some more room, right? Press down, shaking together, and what? Overflowing. And where's he put it? On your lap. Press down, shaking together, and overflowing. Scripture says, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Anybody ever hear that passage of Scripture? Do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. What the heck does that mean? Here's what that means. Hey, Karen, it's going to be good. It's worth the trip. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. The offering plate comes around. You take your left hand, you put it in your pocket. Your right hand goes. See, if your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing, you take your left hand, you go, God's big enough. He's going to give it back. Press down, shaking together, and overflowing. So, I want to give you a concept of how that works in reality. And it's got to do with us. It's got to do with us, the church. We've been in existence for about 10 years now. And when we started Faith Community Christian Church, we had how much money in the bank?
Zero.
Zippo. Nothing. I didn't get paid for a whole year. Nothing. We got nothing. The only thing that we had was George Medlin, God rest his soul, I'll see him again someday, gave us $1,000. That was when we opened a checking account with $1,000. We met in the Wendy's in Westview. That was our church office. So before we had our meetings, we all got number twos or threes or whatever we got and broke bread together. And we started Faith Community Christian Church 10 years ago. We had no home, no place to go. And we knew that the Church of the Epiphany down on Lincoln Avenue, there was a friend of ours, John Jackson, he was painting. He was painting a church, and the pastor of the church said, hey, we're going to close the Epiphany Church, close the church. And John Jackson said, why are you going to do that for? He said, because the congregation, we haven't got a congregation anymore. But we want to try to keep the building open because they had in their North Suburban Adult Services in there. Cy Elker was the guy's name, and he was running the ministry. But they were going to close the church, and North Suburban Adult Services were going to have to leave. And the guy had asked John Jackson, hey, do you know anybody who could want to rent the church? And John Jackson called us, and we got together. We said, we'll rent it from them so they keep the church open. And so we rented the Church of the Epiphany on Bellevue, on Home Avenue in California. We rented it from them every Sunday morning to have a worship service. So they kept the buildings open, and they had North Suburban Adult Services. Now, prior to that, the elder board of this church went around, and we laid hands on a lot of churches in Avalon and Bellevue. We said, use us in some way to keep the churches open. Use us. Well, God did. The second thing we got, I got a phone call from a good friend of mine, Pastor Roger Steiner. Pastor Roger Steiner from Trinity Lutheran Church called me on the phone and said, hey, Tom, this is Roger. Hey, Roger. I play in the band with him. He had said to me, hey, we're closing Trinity Lutheran Church, and you want to buy the building? We know you guys need a place. We'll sell you the building. $50,000. That's what the price was. Everything in the church, $50,000, except for the organ. And I told the folks, and Sissy and I are on our way home to Cranberry Township. I got a phone call from the president of their board and the vice president, Russ North, and Jan Stiletic. Called me on the phone. Russ North said, hey, can we meet with you, Tom? And I went to school with Russ. I said, sure. I said, I'll meet with you. And so Sissy and I went right there. Whoosh, went right up to her house. And he said, hey, you know the church is closed? I said, yeah. We voted to close the church. Yeah, I heard that. He said, hey, is there any way we can keep the church open? Because I want my daughter to be married in the church that I grew up in. And I said to him, I don't know. Tell me what's going on. Well, the church is getting older. There's nobody going. We can't afford a full-time pastor. Da, 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 da. And I said to him, well, how much are you short? How short are you every month in your budget? He said, $1,300. I said, we'll rent your building from you for $1,300. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I don't kid. What time is your service? He said 9. I said, we'll have our service at 11. You go 9. We'll go at 11. You go at 9. We'll give you $1,300 a month to rent your church. And so we rented that church for $1,300. The Trinity Lutheran Church is still in existence today. Still today. And then we decided after 4 or 5 years, I think we were there, we decided, well, it's time now to move on and see what we can do. And so we came here. We didn't really come here first. We went to North Swickley. Bob and I and Sissy and somebody else, I forget who it was, but Robin. We went to North Swickley. We were going to rent their community building. And we're sitting in the room ready to sign a lease. We were coming there at the board of directors to sign a lease. And there was a lawyer there who wasn't there before. And the lawyer said, nope, time out. We're not going to let them rent this space. Because of separation of church and state, the secretary said, nope, you cannot rent this building. You can't rent the building. We had no place to go now, because now we told Trinity we're going to move. North Swickley just told us we can't. Robin said, and Colin said, well, how about this place? We made some phone calls. Voila, we're here. I tell you this to get to this. In all those 10 years, we've been helping other churches. We never really were concerned. We're doing ministries outside, Light of Life. We had a bar of Trinity's to be able to cook there. When we want to have a meeting, we got to rent this place. Right now, Deacon Jim is meeting with the next generation folks. He was meeting up at Carmody's. Now you're meeting at Giant Eagle. Giant Eagle in Cranberry Township. That's what we have to do. We got to have a meeting. We have to go to a Wendy's or something to have a meeting. That's what we have to do because we have no place. We're like little Moses wandering in the wilderness. And we were pretty content 40 years. Okay, 40 years, whatever. But I want you to know that you cannot outgive God. There is no way. How many understand that? There is no way. You cannot outgive God. If you're faithful with the little things, God will give you the bigger things. Does anybody know why Jesus came when he came? No, what I'm asking is, do you know why Jesus came when he came? It said in the fullness of time, God's time, he sent his son. Whose time? God's time. When the time was right, God sent his son. And that's the problem with some of us, is we're impatient. How many are impatient at times? And we know that it has to be in God's time. In God's time. So I want you to know that when you're faithful and you give God unconditionally part of who you are, God will give you back in the fullness of time. So I want you to know that through the generosity of gifts small and large, through the membership of this body of believers, we have a building fund that's now over $100,000. And you got a sheet of paper in front of you. Turn that paper over. Look at the paper. Look in the back. And you'll see at the back of it, it says building fund somewhere. It's at the front. Up front. The front. You'll see where it says building fund. $100,000. You see that? That's what's in our building fund. So what we are going to do now is we are actively pursuing a place to call our home. That's what we're doing. We are actively, and I mean actively, looking at places. We haven't decided whether to build a place or to buy a place. And we're sharing this with you, because this is your church too. We're sharing this with you. And so we are actively pursuing right now. We've been looking, and we are looking at places that we can call our own, but we don't have to be out of here by 11:55 because softball's coming and going downstairs. We want to have our own place that we don't have to worry about getting out, getting in, getting out, setting all the stuff up. Rent a place for a meeting. How many understand that? That's what we're in the process of doing right now. So I petition you. If you want to be involved in that process, we're going to pass around a sign-up sheet. If you want to be involved in the process of locating a place, a building, or whatever, you know, sign your name on this paper, and we'll contact you. We'll have a meeting. Okay, you need to be. You probably want to be a member to make a vote on that, but we'll listen to everybody, okay? But the membership gets the vote. And if you want to be participating in the process of helping find, hey, we can use all the help we can get. So everybody on board with that? You all know what we're talking about, right? We now have a building fund through the generosity of some folks, big and small. Over the last 10 years or so, we have a building fund, say, over $100,000, and we're actively looking. I can't tell you where it'll be because I don't know. But how many know God's timing is perfect? And when God opens up a door, we'll walk through it. So we need to keep that in prayer. And I tell you that to get to this. You cannot outgive God. No, you cannot. You cannot. So when it comes time for your tithes and your offerings, like, what's your mindset? What's your mindset? No, this is mine. What's left over is God's. Is that like your mindset? You get what you sow. You reap what you sow. Is your mindset, oh, I can't part with this dollar. I can't part with this $2. I can't part with this $20. Is that your mindset? How many understand that God is in charge of everything? And He's going to give you back in proportion to what you give to Him. That's the way it always works. That's the way it always works. And not only does it work with that, with your finances, but it also works with your spirituality. It also works with your joy. The more you do, the more you receive. The more joy you give, the more joy you get. How many understand that truth? That's the way it is. If your life is really, really sad and you can't figure out what is going on with your life, you got to reevaluate what you're doing. You really do got to evaluate that. And I want to make sure that we all understand spiritually speaking. We're talking about spiritually. Coming in here on a Sunday morning, this is not ministry for you. It's not. This is not ministry. This is church. This is recharging your batteries. This is being trained and equipped to do what, Jimmy? To go out there. Where's the ministry happen, Jimmy? Out there. Happens out there. It doesn't happen here. Beck, it doesn't happen in here, right? Where's ministry? It's where you work. It's where you go to church. There's people here to minister to. It's where you play. Ministry is out there. It's not in here. And so if your only relationship with the Holy God is for this hour and a half on a Sunday, really, I'm being serious now. If this is it for you, praise God, glad you're here. I'm going to pass you off and plate in a little bit. We want to build a building. But if you want to have a life that's full, and you want to have a life like none other that you have never had, what must you do? Give. Serve. Do what? Do something. Turn to your Bibles, please. I'm going to have you turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 35.
I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
You see, I think a lot of people think what that means is a person who's weak or poor, that might be one of those folks that we serve at the Light of Life Homeless Shelter. Well, certainly, it includes them. It includes them. But couldn't a person be weak and poor in spirit and not be financially destitute? Sure. It means to be able to minister to the person who's sitting across from you. It means being able to minister to the people in your house. I'll tell you, when it comes to giving, it tells you in Scripture that the disciples, when they were going out and they were casting out demons, and they couldn't do it. They were not having a good day. And they came back. And they said to Jesus, hey, we can't do this. And so Jesus said, well, stay here in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Stay here. Stay here in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're equipped, then take a step out. Take a step out into Judea. And Judea was expanding their horizons. Like the prayer of Jabez. Everybody know the prayer of Jabez? Push out my boundaries. Right. So they said, well, stay here in Jerusalem till you get it right. And then take a step out into Judea. And that's the surrounding area. And minister in Judea. And then take another step out into Samaria. And Samaria was a place that they hated them. Go into your uncomfortable place now. Samaria. And when you got that right, then what? Take a step out. All corners of the world. And so when it comes to giving, the discipline of giving, You know where your giving has got to start? In your Jerusalem. It's got to start in your Jerusalem. How can any of us go outside and minister to people far and wide when we can't minister to the people who live in our house? Help me understand that truth. If you can't take care of the people in your house, what right? What right do you have to go take care of people in my house? Get your house in order. Help me understand that. And so it comes time to giving, the discipline of spiritual giving, is give of yourself, give of your time, give of your talent. Minister to those people who live in your house. Help me understand that truth. That's what you need to do. And after your house is in order, then do what? Take a step out. And start ministering to people that you know, your friends, and maybe your coworkers. Take a step out. And when you got that down pretty good, then what? Go a little farther. The homeless shelters and places like that. And so when it comes to the spiritual discipline of giving, we got to give in order to what? Receive. And by the measure that you give, there's also the measure that you get. Does anybody here, can anybody here use any more blessings? Karen, thank you, Karen. Karen can use some more blessings. Everybody else has got all you need? Who's got all you need? No? Okay. Let me tell you a real quick story here. There was a guy, and he died, and he went to heaven. And he saw Jesus, and, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said, you're welcome. Oh, you're welcome. And the man just fell on his, no, Jesus, you don't understand. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Welcome home. No, Jesus, you don't understand. Thank you for all of my blessings. Thank you for all of my blessings. And Jesus said, wait a second. Would you like to see your blessings? Oh, yes. Well, let me show you where I keep your blessings. He took the man by the hand and they walked down a golden street. Made it right on another golden street, and there was all these massive, massive storage barns, many more times bigger than this. And the man said to Jesus, what's that? He said, that's where I keep the blessings. You want to see yours? Oh, yes, Jesus, I want to see mine. And went down a golden row, and down a golden row, and down a golden row, and there this man stood in front of this massive building, massive. And Jesus said, well, would you like to see your blessings? And, oh, yes, Jesus, show me my blessings. And Jesus opened the door, and the man was beside him. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. Stacked from the floor to the ceiling, as high as this place was, and as wide and as deep. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. So many couldn't count. And said, oh, Jesus, look at all those blessings. And Jesus said, yeah, that's the ones you didn't get. That's the ones you didn't get. Well, what do you mean it's the ones I didn't get? Oh, well, see, we have a rule up here. The rule is you get by the same measure that you give. See, you give a little, guess what? You get a little. Does anybody here want their building to be empty when you get to heaven? I mean, well, the kind of person that I am, Shauna, tell you, I want my blessings when, Shauna? Now. I want them now. Anybody want their blessings now? I don't want to wait for it. I want all my blessings when? Now. And the kind of guy I am, just to let you know, if you don't want yours, I'll take them. No, really, I'll relieve you of them. The kind of guy I am. You don't want your blessings, Whitey? I'll take them. No, I really will. No, seriously, I really will. Let me tell you how it works. This is really good. It's how it works, right? So, you get this phone call. Hello, Joe? Well, yes. Well, this is, Mary, I'm at the hospital. Can you come and visit me? Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. But I really could use it. Call me. I'll go. But guess what I get? Your blessing. See, that's the way this works. Isn't it cool? I will go. But guess what I get? Your blessing. You get a phone call, somebody shot in, they need you to pick up a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, and you go, oh, I don't really have it. Guess what? Call me. I'll go. But guess what? I get your blessing. you know, somebody hasn't been visited in a long time and they're shut in, and you live across the street from them and you ain't got the time of day to go knock on the door and just check on them, guess what? Call me. But guess what the trade-off is? I get your blessing. You see, people say, well, Pastor Thomas, sister, you're so busy. Yeah, I know. I want all my blessings. So the question that you have to ask yourself where you sit right now, are you truly blessed? I know what you want to say. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. But what I'm asking, you know whether you are you or not. You know it. You know whether or not you got up this morning and said, oh my God, thank you, it's another day. Let's go, God, I can't wait to see what's in store today. You know whether you did that or not. You know. Or whether you just dragged yourself out of bed and went, oh, it's Sunday. And I know if I don't go to church, I'm going to get a phone call. Because he's going to know. If he doesn't know, Sissy's surely going to know. See, you know if that's how your life is. You know it. You know it. You know tomorrow's Monday. And you're already saying to yourself, oh, it's Monday. 5 more days to another day off. You know you're thinking that. If you're thinking that, well, yeah, have a nice life. Saturday's coming next week. Don't worry, you got 5 more days to put it in the hopper. But you know what? I can't wait to get up tomorrow. You know what? Sure, I don't know what God's going to do with me. More blessings is coming. See, you have to decide, is that your life? Or is your life just autopilot? Just cruising through. Just cruising through. Another day. How many know this song? I-O. So off to work I go. How many know that saying? Everybody know that saying? I said, cool, huh? You see, you have to decide. Who do you work for? I saw Mary. Now, these two guys here, two of my close friends, they work for Federated. That's one of the options. They could say that. I work for Federated. But I'm hoping they wouldn't say that to me. They work for who? For God. See, God's our employer. And so, by what measure, and only you know and he knows, by what measure are you giving of yourself? Too busy? Like go to God and say, hey God, prayer 11 to 12. 12:01, sorry, you missed it, Charlie. Would that be a good God to do that? No. So who wants all their blessings? Anybody want their blessings? Can anybody use a couple more? Anybody want to give any of them away? You want them all, Karen? All right. By the portion that we give, it's the same portion that we receive. And when God gives you something, by what measure does he give it to you, Whitey? Pressed down, shaken together, and what? Overflowing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we have been obedient with the small things. We thank you, Lord, that we have put our entire trust in you 100% of 100% of the time. We trust you. Lord, if it is your desire that we remain here at Blueberry Hill Park, then stay here we will. Stay here we will. If it is your desire, Lord, that we have our own place, then that's what we'll do. And Lord, we know it's in the fullness of time. It's all up to you. But Lord, thank you so much for the church gathered here today, Lord. Thank you so much for their spiritual discipline of giving to your local church, Lord. We have acquired enough now that we can actively pursue a home of our own. Not a grandiose place, Lord, that we need to have a Starbucks in the back of the church, because we don't. Just a place, Lord, that we can be open the doors when we need to have them open and not be concerned about we can't do this ministry or that ministry because we don't have a place. Lord, just a place, Lord, that we can put our stuff in and not worried about having to get out at a certain time when other people need prayed for or people need talked to, Lord, and we're in such a hurry, we've got to go. Lord, just a place that we can call our own home. It doesn't need to be big. It doesn't need to be grandiose. Lord, just a home. Lord, just a home. Just a home. And we thank you, Lord, through the generosity of folks in this room, Lord, through small gifts and medium gifts and big gifts, Lord, whatever. Lord, thank you for that. And we promise, Lord, to be good stewards of that which you have given to us as always, Lord. We will be good stewards of it. So, Lord, as the prophet Isaiah had said, when you said, "Who will go for me?" The prophet Isaiah said, "Here we are, Lord. Send us." And all of God's people said, "Amen."